you know what, I'm sort of shooting from the hip here this morning. And so this is not the way to do it. But I'm going to try to play a recording for you. And Alan, I'm going to use this mic just for a minute. I'm going to try this. I'm going to put my phone up to the microphone. And we're professional at Calvary, I'm telling you. And so listen. So every week, you know, the Lord blesses and the live stream is reaching out. And then the radio ministries are reaching out. We're on, I think we're on 11 radio stations right now. And then Countdown to Courage goes out Tuesday through Friday. And anyway, listen to this voicemail. I hope this will play. I don't know if this will play like this. I didn't warn the guys I was going to do this. So let me see if it'll work here. So that's Eunice and Tom Aliff. They live in up above Baltimore, Maryland, and they're sort of faithful ministers, faithful members of our church by way of live stream. And anyway, this week on Countdown to Courage, I know some of you don't get to watch that, but on Countdown to Courage on Friday, we just used a little humor this last Friday. Didn't think much about that, and Miss Eunice called and she said, "Thank you so much. I needed that." And so I wanted to play that for you today. And then yesterday, after the work day was done, most of our folks had left. Our son-in-law, Timothy, his parents, they dropped by here really unexpectedly. We had not planned it. But Roscoe and Linda pulled in. And Roscoe suffered a stroke about a year ago. Is it more than that? More than that. And so the stroke has, it's taken its toll on him pretty good. And so he has these tremors that are just absolutely uncontrollable. He can't sit still at all. His body's constantly moving. And but I said, he was just so interested in what was going on right here. And I said, you think you can get on that golf cart right there? And he said, "Yeah, I think I can do that." So we got him out of the car and got him on the golf cart. And we rode, he and his wife, around the campus. We rode him down the prayer trail. Some of our guys cleaned up so good around the prayer trail yesterday and did such a great job. We rode through the prayer trail, and he read the verses as we were reading, as we were going on the prayer trail. He read all the verses. And then we got to that very last marker there that talked about tribulation. And he read that verse, and he said, "Boy, God knew I needed that verse right there today." And then we took him over here to the Speech Life Center, showed him the prophet's chamber. And anyway, they went away. They went away so blessed yesterday, just so blessed. And we went away so blessed. I mean, just to think about all that God has done at Calvary Baptist Church and how God has just blessed us beyond measure, hasn't he? I mean, really. He's just blessed us, not only here, but down there, and all this property that God has given to us. And then when you go down there and see what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing down there at the Speech Life Center. I mean, it is just, it's nothing short of miraculous. God's been good to us. And we sure praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that. Well, let's get into the lesson today. I want to talk to you about what you see on the screen there. We're entitling this, The Hidden Man. The Hidden Man. So, look, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles. Now, I'm going to use some scripture that might seem a little odd to you, because really this is a passage that's dealing, at least the first part of this, is dealing with marriage. And this might be something that you would expect me to give at the marriage retreat, but not in Sunday school. But let's look at it, and let's examine it today. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, and what good advice the scripture gives us here. Verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, if any husbands obey not the word, in other words, they're lost, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so the idea is that, ladies, you know, if you have a lost husband, you don't necessarily preach to him. You just live a good, godly, consistent, faithful life in front of him. And that conversation, that lifestyle, is going to make a difference. The Lord's going to use that to win him. Verse 2, while those husbands behold your chaste conversation. Again, that word conversation is the idea of lifestyle. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be, and here's the phrase we're dealing with today, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we dealt with some of those things in that passage at the marriage retreat, so we definitely won't take the time to do that this morning, although it would definitely be worthy. But I want to draw your attention to verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And I want to really hone in on that little phrase right there, the hidden man of the heart. Let's talk about that phrase just a little bit today. Now, that specific phrase, hidden man of the heart, used only one time in your Bible. We just read it right there in 1 Peter chapter 3. So it's just used one time, hidden man of the heart. But the concept, and you'll see that just a little bit, the concept of the hidden man is really all throughout the Word of God. In our Old Testament, in our New Testament especially, but we find that teaching of the hidden man of the heart, we find it all throughout Scripture. Now, let me see if I can build on that just a little bit today. And I want to begin by saying this. Our culture today, literally lives not in verse 4, but in verse 3. That's where most of our culture, that's where their hang-up is. Look again at verse number 3. Who's adorning? That word adorning, you know what that means. It's the outward, it's the dress, apparel, your appearance. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now that's where our modern-day society, that's where they live. I mean, they live there. I mean, that's what they're consumed with, the outer man. They're consumed with that outward adorning. It's all about image. In fact, we hear that word a lot today, image. You'll see commercials pop up, and it's all about image. It's all about appearance. It's all about how others see you. By the way, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Our social media platforms have a lot to do with that as well. It's all about image. You know, half the stuff, really, it's really more than that. More than half the stuff you see on Facebook, not true. When people use social media, they put their best foot forward, don't they? But if, you know what? Anybody can post something on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or something like that. But it's all about how people see me. I want people to see me a certain way. And it's all about today. It's all about improving the body. It's all about changing our appearance. We've got every hairdo for every day. I mean, we've got a different color for every day. It's about clothes. It's about shoes. It's about, it's about plastic surgery. It's about, changing things on our appearance. It's about shaping up, getting in shape. And you don't need me to tell you this, but man, it's just, we constantly are bombarded with commercials that handle losing weight and, becoming a new person. We've got the Weight Watchers diet, and we've got the Jenny Craig diet, and we've got the Nutrisystem, and we've got Slim Fast, and we've got the Ketogenic, and we've got Atkins, and we've got Vegan, and we've got the Zone, and we've got the Mediterranean diet, we've got the Western diet, and the Carnivore diet. And by the way, that's just to name a few. And it seems like we hear those all the time. You say, preacher, what diet are you on? I'm on the seafood diet. Amen. If I see food, I eat it. Amen. No. Listen, I'm not against you being on a diet. My poor little wife, she don't eat very much at all. She don't eat enough to keep her alive. But me, I'm trying to be, I'm trying to be a little bit more mindful. If you don't stay ahead on your health will get ahead of you. And before you know it, man, you'll be a mess. And Brother Eddie and I were having that conversation this morning coming in. Early on in life, you just sort of live recklessly and you do this and that. And you don't even think about it. You're footloose and fancy free, and you've got that youth. And then, boy, you get a little older, you're thinking, man, what was I thinking? Now you've got all the aches and the pains, and all the itis brothers are visiting you. That's where we live. And it seems like all we hear about today, we've got Planet Fitness, and we've got Gold's Gym, and LA Fitness, and Bowflex, and Total Gym, and Nordatrack, and CrossFit, and it's all about that outward adorning. It's all about that outward appearance. And if you were to follow Hollywood today, and Hollywood, I'll be honest with you, Hollywood, why do we follow Hollywood? Man, Hollywood, they don't listen. Hollywood doesn't have a clue. You go to Hollywood, that's one of the saddest places, and some of you have been there, that's one of the saddest places you'll ever visit, is Hollywood. That's sad. It's a dirty, grimy, stinky, smelly, homeless. It's pitiful. It's just pitiful. And yet, a lot of times we let Hollywood sort of dictate, how we're supposed to live, how we're to run our marriages. And I've been thinking about that here lately, especially with the marriage retreat. I thought, man, why would we let the TV tell us how to be married? They can't even stay married for a month. And we won't let them tell us how to stay married? They can't stay married. And Hollywood tells us that our women, for instance, they tell us our women, and especially our young ladies and our teenage girls, and young ladies, and by the way, mom and dad, that's where you come in. Make sure that you help your kids with their self-esteem. That starts at home. And Hollywood wants our young girls, and social media wants our young girls to feel like, they've got to look like a model. A model that stepped out of a magazine or something. That's not realistic at all. Did you know that they tell us the average models, I'm talking about some of those fashion magazines that you ladies look at, the average model's weight is 108. 108? My leg weighs 108. I'm serious. 108? Are you kidding me? Did you know the largest waist size for the average model is 24 inches? Now, you know what that means? That's not normal. And yet that's what our culture is. And that's why a lot of our young ladies are having so many issues today. And you know what? They think that they've got to look like that fashion model that just stepped out of the magazine. And again, they're all about verse number three. It's all about that outward adorning. And then on top of that, We're living in a culture today where people will literally do anything if you'll look at them. I mean, literally anything. They'll put tattoos all over their body. I mean, from hand to foot. I mean, there's not a place you put a tattoo because, I mean, they're tatted up. East, south, north, and west. I mean, it's just that they got tattoos all over their body. They'll pierce every part of their body. And well, I'm going to tell you something. That's got to be painful. It's true, isn't it? I mean, they'll dress immodestly. They'll dress provocatively. And you know what? If the immodest dress won't get it, and evidently it's not. The immodest dress is evidently not, you know, fitting the bill anymore. So now we went from dressing immodestly to cross-dressing. And so, again, it's all in an attempt to get people to look at me. Look at the outward. Now, here's the thing. At Calvary Baptist Church, we welcome everybody. Because we understand something. Usually those people that do all kind of crazy things to the outward adorning, what that is, they're screaming inside, please somebody pay attention to me. Somebody notice me. You know what that's saying? I'm empty. I'm not filled. I'm not fulfilled. I'm empty. I need something. I want you to look at me. Pay attention to me. Maybe they grew up in a home and nobody ever paid attention to them. More and more, it's like that today. And so we know at Calvary Baptist Church, that's why we invite everybody to come here, because we know what they need to be filled with. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only place that they're going to be fulfilled, or the only way they're going to be fulfilled. But let's talk about the hidden man just a little bit today. Just several easy things here. Number one, the hidden man should be given, first of all, he should be given priority. The hidden man, the inner man, should be given priority. The outward appearance should never be given the main priority. Now, does that mean that we're to neglect our body? Of course not. We're not to neglect our body. This is Sunday school, so let's use our Bibles a little bit this morning. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, this is one of my recent memory verses. Personally, that I've been trying to commit to memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look if you will at verse number 16 this morning. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So when we talk about the outward should not be the priority, I'm not saying for a second that you ought not care for yourself. So I'm not. If you're here this morning and you're on a diet, praise the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're going to the gym, praise the Lord. If you're trying to care for that physical body, nothing wrong with that. The Bible says that to bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. And so, I mean, I think that's a good thing. If you're watching what you're eating, if you're making, you know, you're cutting down. Some of you told me you've been cutting down on, you know, Coke, and some of you are cutting down on sugar, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to care for the physical body. That's good. That's not a problem. I'm definitely not preaching against that. I think that we all can have a revival there, because the Bible tells us that this body, once we get born again, this body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit takes up residence. I mean, literally, church. He takes up, this is not figurative, this is literal. God's Holy Spirit takes up residence in our bodies, and our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. We can serve God, I believe this, we can serve God a lot better. Well, I'm getting sick. And so, yes, y'all ought to care for your physical person and take care of your body. But I'm talking about the outward appearance, that outward adorning. Listen, that outward appearance, that outward man is given to change. Now I want to show that to you if I could. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse number 16. Why do we not make this outward man the priority? Because the outward man, the Bible says, the outward man is given to change. The outward man is perishing, and the hidden man is not. Notice what our Bible tells us in
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though," Paul says here, "but though our outward man perish." Now that was, you know what, that was a tough pill for these Romans to swallow, these Corinthians. That was hard for them to swallow because they were very much about the outward man. They were very much about the body. The body was, under this culture, the body was almost worshipped back in this day and time. And so here Paul writes in this Corinthian church, and he says the outward man, that perishes. The outward man, it breaks down. The outward man, little by little by little, is going back to the dust of the earth. It's going back to from whence it came. For though, he said, that though our outward man perish, and that word perish there means to ruin, it means to change for the worse. He said, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so think about it like this. The outward man can be refreshed. Your body can be refreshed. Man, when you worked a long, long, hard day, you go home and you take a, man, you take a piping hot shower. You know what happens? Your body is refreshed. You fix your hair. You ladies, get a manicure. You know what? Your body is refreshed. But really, it's only the hidden man that can be renewed. The body can be refreshed, but the body's perishing. The body's going back. But the hidden man can be renewed. And again, I was just trying to think of a way that I could illustrate this. And so, these little things, these little devices that we have called cell phones. I mean, these are amazing things. If you master it, don't let it become your master. These are great little things. But if you have these things for a while, you know what happened? The outward, what happens to the outward? It gets damaged, doesn't it? I try not to drop it, but I do sometimes, you know. I put a case on mine. A lot of kids don't put cases on theirs. But I put a case on mine because I drop it, you know. And sometimes you drop it, and it gets dinged, and it gets scratched, and it gets discolored. And I mean, it just, you know what, sometimes you crack your screen. And I mean, these things, they just, after a little while, they just sort of get wore out. The outward gets wore out. You know the great thing about that little device right there? It'll keep on working. As long as you keep the inside renewed. And so if you said, "Preacher, mine's all scratched up," and yet you've got it here this morning, and you can make a phone call with it. You can Google something with it. Now the screen is scratched, the screen is damaged, you know, the cover on it doesn't look like it used to look, and yet it still functions. And the reason it functions is because you keep the battery inside, you keep it renewed. You see, this outward adorning, this outward man gets dinged up. It gets scratched, gets cut, it gets arthritis, it gets toothaches, it gets ingrown toenails. I mean, it just, listen, you name it, it gets it. It gets respiratory illnesses and coughs and sneezes and allergies and all these things. And it just, I mean, this outward man gets dinged up. Then you can sort of refresh it, and I do from time to time. I'll take it out of the cover. I'll take some window cleaner, and I'll clean it up in the front and the back, and then I put it back in the cover again, and I sort of refresh it. But that's about all I can do to that thing is just refresh it. But when I plug that thing in, there's something that takes place on the inside, and I can't see it. But there's something that's taking place on the inside, and that little device gets renewed. And the very next day when I wake up, it's all ready to use again. Now, church, listen. That's why I'm saying the outward man should not receive priority. But the inner man, the hidden man, needs to receive priority. There might be somebody here this morning, and you're giving a lot of attention to the outward. But truth of the matter is, you're not getting plugged into the charger. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I feel so discouraged. Preacher, I feel so depressed. I just feel so burned out. I just feel like what? Your battery's dead." Then maybe our problem is we need to understand a very simple truth here, and that's this, that the outward adorning is not the most important thing. It's the hidden man. And maybe today some of us need to sort of make a renewed decision that every single day we're going to get plugged into the charger. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Plugged into the charger. Hey, right here's the charger, right here. This is the charger. Now, it may not look like much, but this is the charger right here. And every day, listen, I know something. If I'm going to keep going on, if I'm going to keep preaching, if I'm going to keep ministering, I've got to get plugged into the charger every day. I listen to the church. Listen, if you don't plug this thing in and it doesn't work, there's no use in throwing it across the room. And one of the things we teach at the marriage retreat is there's a difference between a want and a need. This little device doesn't want charging, it needs charging. And if I don't charge it, it's not going to work. And it doesn't matter if I get mad about it. Listen, if I don't charge this thing, it's not going to work. And listen, if you don't charge your hidden man, it's not going to work. That's why you, man, every single day. And man, and you know something else about these things right here? It's pretty neat. These things, in fact, it popped up this week on my phone. These things are so smart. They call it a smartphone. These things are so smart, they even keep up with the way you charge it. They call it optimized charging. And so these things have something inside of them. I don't know how they do it, but it keeps track of your charging habits and how you charge it, and it makes sure that it charges that phone in such a way that it keeps that battery healthy. And if you don't charge it every day, it affects it. And friends, listen, if we don't charge this hidden man every day, it's going to affect it. You can't charge it on Monday and then it's Friday before you plugged in the charger again.
Right.
You said, preacher, I plugged in on Monday. It didn't charge my battery at all. Hey, listen, whether you know it's charging or not, it's charging. Now, I don't know anything about these things. I don't know how they work. If I took it apart, I couldn't put it back together again. But all I know is this. When I plug the charger in, I don't understand it all. I can't explain it, but it charges. I can't see it charging. Now I've got this little indicator thing on my screen that will tell me that it's charging, but I can't see what it's doing. I don't know how it's doing it. And you know what, church? The fact of the matter is sometimes when I get plugged into this charger, I can't see it charging. But it's working.
Amen.
You say, how do you know it's working? Because God promised it would. God promised it would. And so this is a charger right here. Spending time in prayer. That's a charger. You need to plug your hidden man into that charger every single day. Just spend some time talking to the Lord and letting the Lord know you love him and confessing your sins and praying for others and praying for your own personal needs. Listen, just talk to the Lord and spend time with God. And as you do that, you know what happens? Your battery gets charged. Your hidden man gets charged. You're charging your battery right now. That's right. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to Sunday school. That's why so many Christians, their battery's sort of anemic. They walk around all the time. Their battery just blinks all the time. You ever seen your battery blink on your phone? My wife and I have those little AirPods. You know what I'm talking about? Those little Apple AirPods. You take them out, put them in, you know, you put them in your ears. We use them riding bikes and stuff. And this week I picked up my little AirPod case and it started chirping. And the little light started blinking. I thought, what's that thing doing that for? And every time I'd move it, it'd start chirping. And that little light would blink. You know what was going on? They were dead. You know what they were saying? Charge me. Charge me. A lot of Christians walk around and their spiritual life just chirps all the time. It just, that light blinks all the time. You know why? Because they're not plugged into the charger. And so, we've got to get plugged in. But you see, the emphasis today is all about the outer. It's all about the outward adorning. And by the way, it's showing, isn't it? It's showing. It's why we have, listen to this, it's why we have 1.2 million people who are incarcerated in America today. Because there's way much more emphasis on the outer man rather than the hidden man. It's why we have 1.16 million Americans are arrested annually for drug-related offenses. And according to one study, it's estimated that on average, 300,000 women are victims of rape every year, while victims of other sexual offenses total around 3.7 million annually. It's estimated that between 15,000 to 50,000 women and children are forced into sexual slavery in the United States of America every single year. You know why? Because we are so consumed with the outward adornment, the outward man. And God says, listen, would you please stop paying less attention to the outward that's perishing and start paying closer attention to the hidden man that's incorruptible? Now, think about it. I want you to think about it like this. Think about a knight. Think about a guy that's in a suit of armor. Now, that outward exterior there, you know what? That outward can get dented and he can still fight another day. That outward suit of armor can get scratched. In fact, it can get very scratched, and probably did get very scratched when he was in a time of warfare. It can get scratched and he can continue on. Listen, it can get dinged up, messed up, and dusted up, and it can really get messed up. It can get bent, and that knight can still perform. You know why? Because the outward doesn't necessarily control what's going on the inside. But you let what's on the inside get damaged, get stuck with a sword or a spear or an arrow, somehow finds its way through that armor and that arrow makes its way in, then you got a problem, don't you? See, it's the hidden man. We have no idea what that guy looks like right there. There's somebody in it. But we have no idea what he looks like. You know what? That's the hidden man. He's on the inside. And so it's very, very important we understand something, that the hidden man is to be given priority. Let me at least see if I can give you this. I'll just touch on this next point. Number two, the hidden man is in plain view of God. Your hidden man is actually not hidden from the Lord. Now turn back over, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you turn away from there, 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, I want to draw your attention to what our Bible says here. We'll end with this today. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse number 4. 1 Peter 3, verse 4, he says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible." It doesn't perish like the outward. "Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." And then he says this, "which is in the sight of God." Which is in the sight of God of great price. Turn over to your Old Testament. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16 in your Bibles. The hidden man is in plain view of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And look if you will at 7, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance," that's face, "look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. But the Lord," what does the Lord do? "The Lord looketh on the heart." Now, does that mean that our outward appearance doesn't matter? That's not what it means at all. We ought to take care of our outward appearance. The Bible is very clear about that. But the Bible says God sees the heart. God sees the heart. God sees that hidden man. Let me just, I'll read this verse for you. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And one last place I'll have you turn. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. We're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 5. The hidden man is hidden to others, but it's in plain view of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look, if you will, at verse number 5. The Bible says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now we'll see how things go. We may try to build on that just a little bit more next week. But listen, let's do this. Let's get plugged into the charter of the Spirit. Let's make sure our hidden man gets charged. You know, so many people today are having problems, and the reason is because your battery's depleted. I mean, you're about to go dead. And if we just make sure that this week we're going to really concentrate on the hidden man and make sure that our spiritual man is what it needs to be, listen, I believe the Lord will help you with a lot of those things. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll let you have a break today. Father, we love you, and thank you so much for the privilege to be in class today. And God, we thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting us know that, Lord, we have a hidden man. We have an inner man, a spiritual person, that, God, we had better take very good care of. We better get plugged into the charger because, Lord, our spiritual battery can go dead. And before we know it, we'll find ourselves on the sidelines and a castaway. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get in the Word of God, help us to be people of prayer, God, help us to be faithful to church. And, Lord, I'm so thankful for our class, and thank you for what you've done today. God, I pray that you'll bless our fellowship now. And then, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for what you have for us in the upcoming service. Lord, a very, very important lesson we're going to learn today. And so I pray you'll get us ready to receive. Lord, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your so great salvation. We love you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you back here at 11 o'clock.